That is up in the air currently. There are severe challenges well, unless you're traveling or trying to move people around, you may not be aware of, especially with the quarantine restrictions when you get back home. So it is up in the air and currently, and we'll make a decision perhaps later in this month, make a final decision on if we are able to host it. It is being reviewed currently based on what we've experienced during the Super 50 itself. So that is something that we will make an announcement on, a decision on, a little later this month.
So this you're talking about the regional tournament, because originally I was here in the first
The West Indies Championship.
West Indies Championships. For the first two rungs should have been in Barbados, and the next three in Trinidad. Am I right?
That's correct. Yes,
Okay,
that's
good.
what we have scheduled. Yes.
And you've also got scheduled to come to the Caribbean, Pakistan, Australia, and South Africa. Am I right?
Well, you've said it in the reverse, but it's South
Okay,
Africa in
but so,
June,
right.
Australia the beginning of July, and Pakistan towards the end of July into
Right.
August.
Okay. And we're kind of on track for them, basically.
So far, yes, as on track as you can be in a COVID
Right,
environment.
right, right. And these countries have confirmed that they're coming?
Well, as far as we know, they've all committed to come. But again, Andrew, if there's a flare up in the pandemic worldwide, etc., then you have to look at different avenues. You have to look at the risk, etc. And we have seen it in the cricketing world where one country has decided that the risk was too great and opted not to go. We have no control over that. We can provide as much information as we can on the biosecure bubble, how safe it is, etc. The risk perspective in the Caribbean is relatively lower than in most other countries. And in choosing our venues, those are also going to help. The risk level in each country is going to help us determine where we play those matches. So all that is information that our medical teams, along with the visiting teams' medical people, will sit down and work out and come up with how best we can make it happen and go from there. But based on everything, all the indications so far, those tours will take place. As of today, we are pretty confident that those tours will take place.
All right, thanks to you, Roland. Holder, enjoy the rest of your evening. Get up early in the morning, of course, and as we prepare for the ODI series, I know you're a very, very busy man. Thanks to you, Roland, for coming and talking to us on Mason and Guest.
Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
All right, so
Sure.
there you have it. We're going to continue 4341790. We're going to try and open the lines as well. We've got Ian Bradshaw, former West Indies all-rounder. We've got Mally Richards, of course, who would have played for the Leewards. And of course, the son of the iconic Saviv Richards on the line. And we also have someone that would not have played in the 90s or the 80s, long before that, of course, Jackie Hendricks, who's on the line from Jamaica. Jackie, we're not going to keep you too much longer because we know that you're getting ready now to go to bed. We know you go to bed with the fowls, so
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So let's conclude with you, and of course come back to Ian, and of course some night owls. I know that Mally, well, not in COVID, but generally he may be out in the streets of St. John's until 1 o'clock in the morning. All right, now Jackie, we spoke about Gail, we spoke about Phil and Edwards. You've got your doubts about them, the West Indies winning. Let's look now to the test series. If we just go forward quickly with you, we had a win in Bangladesh. You're confident the West Indies can do well against Sri Lanka, Jackie?
I think so, yes. I was very impressed by the apparent fighting spirit of the team that went to Bangladesh. I think maybe a lot of people figured that they might not have been as successful as they were, but I think that with Phil Simmons and help and the other members of the coaching staff and so on, I think the players really and truly put their heads down and did us very proud. So I'm hoping that some of them in that team will not be forgotten, because I think that there is a spirit, a showed a spirit that we needed in our cricket for some long time.
That's a good question, Jackie, because a lot of hard decisions will have to be made here, because you've got, you know, some of the big boys, the big guns who didn't go to Bangladesh, and you've got people like Josh De Silva, you know, who came through. Bonner came through and did very well. So the selectors have got to make a choice. You know, you've got Rust and Chase possibly coming back to the side.
Don't forget the captain. I mean, he must be giving him quite a bit of praise for,
yeah, Craig Brathwaite,
for his art in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a very, very difficult job for the selectors as I see it. But I'm hoping that, good sense prevails and we have some recognition of those players that went to Bangladesh.
Mm. Would you retain Craig Brathwaite as your captain?
I personally would, yes.
You would?
I would.
That's going to make primetime news tomorrow, Jackie, in the Gleaner.
No,
there.
I don't see why. I mean, he had a successful tour of Bangladesh. I don't know how many people gave us any chance of beating them.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that his leadership was paramount in our getting through the series as we did. So I don't know. I think the current captain, he did not make himself available to go to Bangladesh, yet he was playing cricket in Australia. So I was a very, very big fan of him, of Holder, but I'm a little disappointed in how he eventually, you know, treated the Bangladesh tour.
So Craig Brathwaite would be your man to continue as captain. And of course, interesting, because we had Sir Clive Lloyd on the show recently talking about it. Also, Derek Murray as well. And we had Phil Wallace talking about it. So you're going to stick with Craig Brathwaite. Just before
I would do that. I would give him, some recognition for his part in the Bangladesh victory.
Mm-hmm. Now, just before you go, Jackie, Josh De Silva, the keeper, you're a pretty good keeper yourself. In fact, the right excellent Sir Garfield Sobers, when he was on the show here with us last year, reckoned that when he played, you were the best keeper that he would have worked with. What's your view on Josh De Silva, having seen the young man from Trinidad and Tobago?
Well, I think so far, I think he has done quite well, certainly with the bat.
Right.
But to be very frank, I have not seen a lot of him in the field.
Right.
And I really wouldn't like to make any comment at this this stage. I think after the our tours in West Indies in the next couple of months, I think that would be a very, very good opportunity to really have a good look at him.
Mm. Quickly again, before you go, any cricket in Jamaica? Anything happening
in
Jamaica?
None at all.
Really?
I'm very distressed about it.
Mm.
But you know, the COVID is because there's no football either. Which
no
is
football
a big
either.
Thing,
yes,
imagine.
I know that. Yeah, yeah, indeed. So you can't get Jackie to go down to maybe Manor Park or one of those places, or I don't know where in Jamaica, to St. George's College to watch some football. You're home. in that posh area there in Cherry Gardens, I'm told.
Well, they're certainly playing it very, very cagey with the COVID thing, and you know, a lot of footballers, I think, are a little upset. But you know, the health of everyone comes first. You know, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm depending on the powers that be to make the decision as to when they consider it to be the correct time to start these games, you know?
Well, of course, Jackie, you know, when you speak, you're a man of great influence, you know, in Jamaica. You are as powerful as Prime Minister Holness, I'm told.
Oh, my God. No, I'm afraid I have no influence whatever.
Final question to you. We got the big elections coming forward very soon. Ricky Skerritt, who has been in power for the last 2 years or so, he's got his first officer's Vice President, Dr. Shallow. And then Sanasi from Guyana, he's looking to unseat Mr. Skerritt, and he's got Calvin Hope of Barbados as his running mate. Your reaction?
Calvin is running.
As Vice President, Sanasi.
Is that so?
Yes.
Okay. That's very interesting. Actually.
Very interesting. What do you think?
Yes. Well, I don't know. I think that Mr. Skerritt has really had just, I think, one term, isn't it?
Yeah, just one term, yes. Yes, one term.
You know, I think one finds it very difficult at times to get everything that you want done in one term.
Right.
Especially with the problems that we've been having with the COVID.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. I wouldn't be ready to shake the tree yet.
Okay.
I would think that it's a little early. I think.
Mm-hmm. So based on what you're saying, then you would stay with Mr. Skerritt, then, is that what you're saying?
I would say, well, yes, I would think, and give him another
term.
Time.
Yes, all right.
Another term.
Another sip of the Blue Mountain coffee.
Yes, that's true.
All right. Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Jackie Hendricks, there in Jamaica, staying indoors and staying away from COVID, because lots of COVID cases there. 2 or 3 days ago, you had as many as 723 in one day and 7 deaths.
Absolutely.
What's going on there in
absolutely.
Jamaica, Jeffrey? That's a terrible
thing. Mm. I don't know. We're getting a lot of people back from America and from England.
Yes.
You know, they've deported quite a few people from both countries.
Mm.
So I don't know whether that has caused anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But certainly, it's very scary.
Mm. Stay safe, Jackie. We need you around for another 100 years or so, Jackie.
Andrew.
All right.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
Bye-bye. Good old Jackie Hendricks there in Jamaica, making some interesting comments. Not very big on Gail Plain and Fidel Edwards. That's going to make primetime news, of course. In Jamaica and around the Caribbean, and he's saying that he will retain Craig Brathwaite as the captain. And he's also saying as well, the veteran, that he would stay with Ricky Skerritt as president of Cricket West Indies. So a lot to chew in coming from the veteran. Let's go to some very young men, of course, the youth of a nation, or they say the trustees of posterity. So we're going to go back to Mally Richards now. Mally, we were looking very much at the West Indies performance, and Ian Bradshaw made the point that he was a bit concerned about the batting. When you do a critical analysis, you must not be happy when you consider that, you know, I mean, Gale got 29 runs. I mean, Holder got 52. Well, you know, it came a bit late, and I suppose that Ian Bradshaw put it in context. But overall, the batting was a little fuzzy, wasn't it, Mally?
Yeah, I must say, apart from, I think, Pollard's over 660s and Fabian Allen, I think the batting was a bit lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could tell that they're still trying to work out the combinations necessary, you know, to be successful, to have a successful batting lineup. I think listening to Kieran Pollard after the first T20, when he said he knows that, you know, this series will come down to how the West Indies handle the Sri Lankan spinners. And we sneaked over the line, but like Ian said, we didn't do a very good job. The responsibility was lacking. We lost wickets in clusters, you know, and that's never good in a T20.
Mm-hmm. Now, I asked the question before Dr. Ford comes back in, and it's a question that we got to ask. I mean, Chris Gayle, you got Dwayne Bravo coming back, and Fidel Edwards, having not played for about 10 years or so. What's your view on these? Jackie Hendricks is not very keen on Gale and Fidel Edwards. What's your take, Mally? Talk to me.
To be honest, I was quite surprised to see them selected in the squad. We all know what they bring, if they're on top form. But these players, if they're going to be selected now, they're just going to have to perform.
Mm.
And it just didn't go their way in this series. So, I mean, it's now up to the selectors if they will continue with them going to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Ian, would you select these guys, Gale and Fidel Edwards and Dwayne Bravo? Ian,
we're gonna put that into context and look at them individually.
Mm-hmm.
Fidel, he has been away from West Indies cricket. He's played a lot of county cricket and so forth. So he's obviously kept himself pretty fit and so forth. He came back and played the CPL, and he bowled well. He got some wickets, and then he played recently again, and he's done well. In the absence of Cottrell and or Shane Thomas and so forth, it is obvious that the selectors wanted to have have options on the table. Mm. One of the concerns about West Indies cricket, and you look at some of those bowlers, is that they seem to get injured quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be important that we have our options available in a World Cup year. So I think that in normal circumstances, Fida might not have gotten the opportunity. But with these guys being injured and also being somewhat injury prone, it allowed Fida to get the opportunity. And I'm happy for him. I played cricket with him, and I know how hungry he is to put on the West Indies colours. But as Malik quite rightly said, it comes down to the performance, and you're as good as your last game. And Fidel will understand that. Where Dwayne is concerned, I think over a year or so ago, we earmarked that our death bowling was a challenge. And not just the death bowling the last two overs, but when you have those pressure situations where a team maybe accelerating just breaks on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Dwayne has been identified as part of the solution. Obviously, he's lost a bit of pace, and we can't depend on him to bowl the death overs all the time. I was quite pleased to see Jason. Still not convinced that he's the solution consistently down at the bottom. But in a World Cup year, as I say, you got to cover all your bases. And I think that Dwayne's inclusion is to assist from a bowling aspect in those pressure overs. His batting, I'll talk to him when I get a chance to talk about this. I mean, Dwayne prided himself as an opening batsman number three.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's close to nine. So he really has to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can improve his batting as he should, I mean, that really gives some depth to our batting lineup. Where Christopher Gill is concerned, let me say this abundantly. Christopher Gill is arguably the most impactful T20 cricketer that has ever played. And he's kept himself active. More recently, he had some good performance in the IPL. And because West Indies Cricket Board and Christopher Gill did not close the door on his career, it offered opportunity for Christopher Gill to remain as an option for West Indies cricket as you go into a World Cup year. Seeing Chris at number three looked a little bit strange. I'm not too sure if that is the best position for him and if he's going to play it. Me personally, think he has to open the batting. But let me say this, that Chris deserves another opportunity, probably next series or so forth. But with Hetmyer likely to return, there's no guarantee he play for Chris Gill as we go forward. And I think Chris is mature enough to understand that. And he will have to earn his ticket to the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Doc?
I'll ask Mali a question. Mali, during the series, the West Indies lost 23 wickets. We batted second, and Sri Lanka only lost 15 wickets. So we lost 8 wickets more. We were victorious. And you did mention us losing wickets in clusters. How does this make you feel regarding your confidence of us being able to bat first and consistently set a score that's competitive in this format?
Well, based on what we saw in the T20s, I'm not that confident going into these ODIs. I must be honest. What we saw from the batsmen was we saw rash shots. We saw, like Ian said, players not taking responsibility. You know, at times, all it would have taken is an over of batting normally, and we'd be, you know, right back, you know, in the game and not panicking. And we failed to even do that. We just kept going hard all the way through. And in 50 overs, it's going to be tough. I think it's honestly going to be tough for us, especially with the conditions here in Antigua. It's been dry. You know, Roland was speaking earlier about the amount of wear and tear on the wickets. And I think it's just going to come down to Sri Lankan spinners versus West Indian batsmen. And at this point in time right now, I'm not as confident as I think I should be going into the matches.
Oh, interesting.
Ian, you... Ian, you mentioned...
Just before you bring in, we got Sivnarine Chanderpaul on the line. We don't want to keep the Tiger waiting because he will then be on the prowl a second time. So just hold. We're going to just spend a couple of minutes with our good friend, Mr. Chanderpaul. Hello, Shiv, how are you?
Hi, Andrew. Good afternoon, and good afternoon to all.
Right. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Shiv Chandrapal. You are in Antigua working and doing some wonderful work there as an assistant coach, am I correct?
Well, I'm here as the batting coach with the best of the best team here, trying to help the guys, the batters, with whatever I can help them with.
And how has it gone so far, Shiv?
Yeah, well, we had some good performances from some of the guys. Some of the batters didn't get in, but so far, you know, you're trying to get echo to them. Whoever get the opportunity to get in, make sure they go big and you know, do not give any let in the opposition, you know. Make sure you get the job done and finish the day and come back looking tomorrow at the bat again.
Yes, and you had some pretty good performances there. I mean, John Campbell got 100. We note that Roston Chase got among the runs. You know, that's good.
Yeah, we've been working with those guys in the net, and you know, one of the things with John is you're trying to get him to leave more balls outside the off stump, and which is what he did well in the match, and
yes.
He left well, and he was able to carry on for a 100, and then. After he got to the 100, then he started to lift his head and playing shots that he wasn't playing before. So all the things you have to echo to them and let them know that, hey, when you get to 100, you still have to carry on. It's not over, the job. It's not done. You have to carry on. Even to Roston, I said to him, you know, you got to make sure you can push on from there. You can't get out at that stage, especially when it gets easier. You have to make sure you cash in from that period. And so these are things, you know, you have to let the players understand what it takes and what it you know, you need to do as a batter for the team.
And it's such a pleasure to talk to you, Shiv Narayan Chandrapal, one who's done so very well and someone who understands batting. It is batting, as they say, until the cows and the sheep and the pigs come home. I mean, you like batting, and of course, you've done such a wonderful job for the West Indies. What about Hetmyer, though? A bit unfortunate the way you got on Hetmyer.
Yeah, he got one that kept a little bit today and missed it and got bowled. But he was shaping up well. All the guys in the nest, they did a lot of work. And what was pleasing for me is that the amount of work they did and how they want to get extra in the nest and they want to improve their skill, which was pleasing for me.
Indeed. And, of course, you would have had a stint doing some work with the Ghana team as well. How did that go, Shiv?
Well, it was because I wasn't there in the beginning, and then when they came here, it was they're trying to get everything in and making sure the players can get what is required in the match. You're just trying to making sure that they do the things that I know they would need in the game. So, I mean, after the first game, we made a lot of mistakes against Barbados. Batters lifting the head, hitting balls in the air, and there's no call for it because it's a 50-over match. It's a long way to go. There's no need for you to put your head in the air and hit balls in the air. There's a lot of time. You need to put your head down and make sure you stroke the ball in the ground. Back yourself, back your ability, and trying to find the gaps and keep rotating and keep the score ticking over.
What advice do you have for our batsmen? Because we know with interest against the Sri Lankans, they didn't play the spin very well. If you had to speak to our cricketers about what they have been doing, or maybe not doing, because we are very concerned about the fact that they've not played the spin well. What would you say to them, Shiv?
Well, I've been at the games. I've been to all the games. We actually struggling to pick the spinners. And that definitely is a concern because we're not picking the spinners. We're not picking the spinners. We need to probably get something that will give us the advantage like any other team overseas. You go to New Zealand, they'll prepare a green top. You go to England, they'll have wicket as a team. And you go to India, you have a dust bowl. We in the Caribbean, we need to take in Sri Lanka's spinner out of the equation. We need to take them out by prepare some green tops for us and let our pieces deal with them. And then our batters will be able to deal with their pieces and take their spinners out because that it is right now. Our guys are struggling to pick the spinners.
Yes.
So we have to find a way to take this spinner out of the equation.
Doc, I'm sure you're happy to interact with Ian Bradshaw, with Mally Richards. Of course, Franklin Rose has joined us. And, of course, the great man, Shiv Narayan Chandrapal. Doc?
Yeah, certainly. I've never got to speak. Well, I did get to speak to Shiv on his last visit. But Shiv, you were known for your tenacity and concentration, and now you've transitioned from playing to coaching. How do you compare the preparation you put in when you were a player to mm-hmm. the sort of work ethic you see of the modern day West Indian player?
Well, I what I'm seeing here is a good side for us. What I don't see, what they need to do is when you're at home, you need to put in the hours. That is what I did. I put in all the hours. I spent hours and hours hitting thousands of balls at home. I mean, I literally will just be in the machine most of the day hitting balls. I mean, as a batter, you want to improve, but you have to also know what you're working on. I mean, I study opposition bowlers. I sit down at night, watch them if they play against. If I know I'm going to play against Australia, Australia is playing somebody, not playing West Indies yet, but playing somebody else. I'll be up in the night watching them, watching their bowlers, watching everything, and try and get as much information as I can get from them. And then trying to figure out if they bowl into left-handers, try and see what they're doing to the left-handers, and then have an idea up in my head what I think might come on bowl to me. Set the machine in certain areas that I will test myself and for every bowler that I think will bowl to me, and practice and practice and practice and make sure that when that time comes for me to play against Australia, I'm ready. You know, I visualize the bowlers. I make sure that I practice them and get myself ready for match day. So, you know, these are things our batters need to do, get themselves organized, get your preparation done before the game time.
Well, a lot of former players talk about commitment and pride as it relates to being a West Indian cricketer, and suggest that this may be missing now. Do you think there are too many distractions for the well-established and popular West Indian star?
Well, it's a lot of other format of cricket out there, and remember, people cricketing career don't be forever. You just whatever time you play cricket, and then your career is over. So guys also have to try and make as much as they can, which is what they're trying to do also. I don't have a problem with that, but I think you've been paid, you have a retainer contract, you've been paid, and you'd asked to put in some work, you should be able to do that. Because I remember in the past, we don't get any money, we don't have no contract, we had to find your own money to go and do your work, and somehow you still have to find yourself get the work done. I have to get the work done, so it doesn't matter. We never used to get paid for that, but we get our work done. Now people are being paid for that, and some people are not doing the work, and that is not right.